I'm Cindy Lauper. My psoriasis was all over, even on my scalp, which may mean four times the risk for psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx works on both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
This week, how do you approach a problem like Trump? Let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Well, thanks for listening to the podcast, and don't forget to make sure you're following to stay up to date on all the new episodes. Now, in less than a week, Taoiseach Micheál Martin will meet the US President Donald Trump at the White House, and it's fair to say not everyone who's been there recently has had a great time of it. So I've gone back and watched the entirety of the press conferences done in the Oval Office by Emmanuel Macron, the French President, British PM Keir Starmer, and the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to see if we can devise a battle plan for a Taoiseach who goes in there under a fair bit of domestic and international pressure. Let's start with the French smoozer. Macron was the first of the three visits in the last month, and it's been described by some as a masterclass in diplomacy. And having rewatched the whole thing, I have to say I'm a little bit less impressed, or at least I think we need to recalibrate what a masterclass is. He certainly didn't get his head chopped off, which may be the new best case scenario when visiting the White House. So how did he do it? Well, he started by buttering Trump up from the get-go.
I'm here as a friend because through centuries we've been friends, and we are personal friends, as you mentioned it, because we work very well together. And I think the US and France always stands on the same side, the right side, I would say, of history. Mm-hmm.
So straight away, he's speaking Trump's language. Then he thanks Donald Trump again and reminds him of happier times in Paris.
Europe is willing to step up, to be a stronger partner, to do more in defense and security for its continent, and as well to be a reliable partner and to be engaged on trade, economy, investment in a lot of topics. So I'm very excited by the discussion we will have, and obviously we will follow up. And I want to thank you again, Mr. President, for your presence for Notre Dame de Paris. It meant a lot for French people, and I want to thank you for that.
So he's doing a couple of things there, hitting on a MAGA talking point of Europe doing more and America doing less, conversely, and then also thanking Trump for his involvement in France, which goes down quite well.
That's the cathedral, and they've done a fantastic job. The president's done a great job in bringing it back. That was a terrible thing, like, what, 5 years ago? Watching that burn was a very horrible sight, and you've done a fantastic job in bringing it back, so I congratulate you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much.
One of the keys then for Macron after the initial exchanges, he shuts the hell up. He lets Donald Trump dominate the room and leaves all the questions to him, to the point where Trump actually invites Macron to ask a question or to answer a question to get his opinion. Maybe observing that old adage of the most important thing you can say sometimes is nothing at all. Macron answers a few questions in French then for the travelling media, which is translated live in the room after each answer. And that kind of kills the momentum of the press pack for long periods as well, and actually invited Trump in to comment on Macron's French.
I just want to tell you a little story. So we're at the Eiffel Tower having dinner with your wonderful wife and with my wonderful wife, and we came out and he started speaking the French deal. And we didn't have an interpreter, and he was going on and on and on, and I was just nodding, yes, yes, yes. And he really sold me out, because I got back the next day and I read the papers. I said, that's not what we said. He's a smart customer, I will tell you that.
that's the moment they're seen having a cuddly bro sort of a handshake. And much has been made of Macron correcting Trump during the press conference. It happened once and was done in a pretty diplomatic way after a question about whether the US should be compensated financially for its support of Ukraine.
I support the idea to have Ukraine first being compensated because they are the one to have lose a lot of their fellow citizens and being destroyed by this attack. Second, all of those who paid for could be compensated, but not by Ukraine, by Russia, because they were the one to aggress.
Again, just so you understand, Europe is loaning the money to Ukraine. They get their money back.
No, in fact, to be frank, we paid. We paid 60% of the total defaults, and it was through, like the US, loans, guarantee, grants, and we provided real money, to be clear.
So Macron's blueprint, butter him up, stay quiet, and be firm but not forceful when it is needed. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer was next, and he followed much of the same pattern. This time, though, he brought a Trump card from a mate.
And it is my pleasure to bring from His Majesty the King a letter. He sends his best wishes and his regards, of course. But he also asked me to bear this letter and bring it to you. So can I present a letter from the King to
you? Thank you very much. Am I supposed to read it right now?
Yeah, please do.
I will do.
I've got to tell him what your reaction is, so I need to know.
He is a great gentleman. A great, great gentleman. Well, that is really nice. I must make sure his signature's on that. otherwise, it's not quite as meaningful. It is, and that's quite a signature, isn't it? Beautiful. He's a beautiful man, a wonderful man, and we appreciate it. I've known him, gotten to know him very well, actually. Yeah. First term and now second term. Perhaps you'd like to say what that very important paragraph.
Yes, so this is a letter from His Majesty the King. It's an invitation for a second state visit. This is really special. This has never happened before. This is unprecedented. I think that just symbolizes the strength of the relationship between us. So this is a very special letter. I think the last state visit was a tremendous success.
It was.
His Majesty the King wants to make this even better than that. So this is truly historic.
Now, for me, he overeggs that just a bit. And that's an understatement, just a bit. But hey, look, this is what Donald Trump loved to hear. And a little later, when asked about UK-US relations, Trump, well, he likes to pay tribute to people's wives.
Well, I think we have just a great relationship. We actually had a good relationship before. We've met a couple of times, and I'm very impressed with him. I'm very impressed with his wife, I must say. She's a beautiful, great woman. And I said you're very lucky. He's very lucky. And we've had a very good relationship.
In this press conference, Trump went on long rants about the EU, and Starmer butted in just enough to remind him actually they're no longer in the EU, because it's fair to say Donald Trump's geography might not be the best.
And this is some place that I have investments there. I own Turnberry, Aberdeen, and I own a great place called Doonbeg in Ireland. So, you know, I have a great warm spot for your country.
And our trade, obviously, is fair and balanced. And in fact, you've got a bit of a surplus. So we're in a different position there. And obviously, we've contributed hugely in relation to Ukraine, and taken together with Europe, there's about 50%
it'll work,
of what's
yeah.
got in.
Starmer, too, stays largely quiet throughout the press conference. And when he does chime up, like here on Ukraine, his words are littered with compliments.
The deal, if we get it, is going to be hugely important. I don't think it would have happened if the space hadn't been created for it by yourself. But if there's a deal in, we've got to make sure it's a deal that lasts.
Clever enough there, wrapping up the push to get the US to give a security guarantee to Ukraine with a compliment to Trump to hide the sting or the nudge, as it were. But he did have to butt in occasionally in a similar way to Macron.
We wanted to have a little bit of what the European nations said. You know, they get their money back by giving money. We don't get the money back. Biden made a deal. He put in $350 billion. And I thought it was a very unfair situation.
We're not getting all of ours. I mean, quite a bit of ours was gifted. It was given. There were some lanes, but mainly it was gifted, actually.
And he had to do it more often than Macron as well, with a reporter throwing a softball question to J.D. Vance about free speech in the UK.
We do have, of course, a special relationship with our friends in the UK and also with some of our European allies. But we also know that there have been infringements on free speech that actually affect not just the British, of course, what the British do in their own country is up to them, but also affect American technology companies and, by extension, American citizens. So that is something that we'll talk about today at lunch.
Well, we've had free speech for a very, very long time in the United Kingdom, and it will last for a very, very long time. Certainly we wouldn't want to reach across US citizens, and we don't, and that's absolutely right. But in relation to free speech in the UK, I'm very proud of our history there.
So he got through it unscathed, and largely due to, again, staying quiet, popping the praise pills, and being diplomatically firm without offending Donald Trump. Tightrope act in itself. And we thought that was the blueprint that Zelensky was going to follow, and it seemed to leaders across the world maybe there is something like normal diplomacy returning to the White House. They were wrong. Enter Zelensky, who first off the bat had to deal with a banal and hostile question.
Why don't you wear a suit? Why don't you wear a suit? You're the highest level in this country's office, and you refuse to wear a suit. Just want to see if you do. You own a suit?
Yeah, problems.
A lot of Americans have problems with you not
really
respecting the dignity of this office.
I will wear a costume after this war will finish.
Okay.
Yes, maybe one.
Maybe something.
Maybe
like
something
this.
Like yours.
Yes.
Yes.
That'd be great.
Maybe something better. I don't know.
Yeah.
We will see. Maybe something cheaper than,
Thank you.
Now, that was asked by right-wing journalist Brian Glenn, who works for the Real American Voice outlet, one of the hand-picked Trump cronies who has been let into the Oval Office. But it was clear early on that Zelensky, he wasn't going to do the knee bending that other leaders has done. The frustration on his face was very obvious with some of the stuff being talked about, whereas Starmer and Macron were able to at least hide it and appear happy to be there. From the get-go, it was not the same case for Volodymyr Zelensky. And Trump's demeanour and face began to change after Zelensky contradicted him on the details of Putin breaking past peace deals.
Ukraine, before my presidency, from the 2014, Putin broken 25 times. 25 times he broken his own signature. 25 times he broken ceasefire.
He never broke to me.
You were the president.
He never broke to me.
In 2016, you've been the president, Mr. President. You've been the president.
One of the biggest mistakes I think Zelensky made was speaking too much. He talks way more than Macron or Starmer did. And if there is one thing Trump hates, it's anyone else having the attention. And you can see his face become more and more fed up and disinterested as the meeting goes on. And you see this all the time with Trump, when even his biggest supporters are giving rallies and maybe telling funny anecdotes. He doesn't crack a smile. He does not smile if someone else says something else that is funny, that is interesting, that is whatever, because it is taking time away from the main attraction. And this question, I think, was a bit of a turning point. Reporters were firing questions both at Trump and Zelensky. Two reporters end up shouting over each other with a question for each. And Zelensky butts onto Trump's turf, so to speak, to answer a question.
It's a very good start, very good, but it will not enough to stop this person.
Should Russia pay to rebuild Ukraine?
Mr. President, after
This is the rule of the war. During all the centuries, all the history, this is the rule of the war. Who began those pay?
Now, J.D. Vance, as we know, is about to become the villain in this piece. We can argue the toss on how much of that was premeditated, how much they came in to give Zelensky a whacking, which they didn't do and didn't intend to do to either Trump or Starmer. But questions were being asked about the peace deal and how they can guarantee Putin won't just rearm and invade again. J.D. Vance is asked to answer. He gives a spiel about how this presidency is taking a better approach to Biden. And Zelensky has been pushing back at this point, saying you cannot trust Putin. But for him, makes an error and really changes the tone of the meeting by going at Vance on it.
What makes America a good country is America engaging in diplomacy. That's what President Trump is doing.
Can I ask you?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So He occupied our parts, big parts of Ukraine, part of East and Crimea. So he occupied it on 2014. So during a lot of years, I'm not speaking about just Biden, but those time was Obama, then President Obama, then President Trump, then President Biden, now President Trump, and God bless, now President Trump will stop him. But during 2014, nobody stopped him. He just occupied and took. He killed people. You know what the contact
2015.
Line?
2014 and 2014.
Yeah, yeah. So
I was not here.
Yeah, but
that's exactly right.
Yes, but during 2014 till 2022, yeah, the situation the same. The people have been dying on the contact line. Nobody stopped him. You know that we had conversations with him, a lot of conversations, my bilateral conversation, and we signed with him, me, like a new president. In 2019, I signed with him the deal. I signed with him, Macron and Merkel, we signed ceasefire. Ceasefire, all of them told me that he will never go. We signed with him with gas contract. Yes, but after that, he broken this ceasefire. He killed our people and he didn't exchange prisoners. We signed the exchange of prisoners, but he didn't do it. What kind of diplomacy, JD, you are speaking about? What do you mean?
I'm talking about the kind of diplomacy that's going to end the destruction of your country.
Yes, but if you
Mr. President, with respect, I think it's disrespectful for you to come into the Oval Office and try to litigate this in front of the American media. Right now, you guys are going around and forcing conscripts to the front lines because you have manpower problems. You should be thanking the president for trying to bring it into this conflict.
Have you ever been to Ukraine that you say what problems we have?
I have been to.
Come once.
I've actually watched and seen the stories, and I know what happens is you bring them on a propaganda tour, Mr. President. Do you disagree that you've had problems?
In other words, Vance hasn't a clue and is taking his questions from the television. Up until now, Donald Trump has been staying out of this exchange until Zelensky makes his fatal mistake.
During the war, everybody has problems, even you, but you have nice ocean. And don't feel now, but you will feel it in the future. God bless.
You don't know that.
God bless.
You don't know that.
You will not have a war.
Don't tell us what we're going to feel. We're trying to solve a problem. Don't tell us what we're going to feel.
I'm not telling you.
Because
I'm
you're in no position to dictate that.
That's
remember
exactly
this.
What
you're you're in no position to dictate what we're going to feel. We're going to feel very good.
You will feel influence.
We're going to feel very good and very strong.
You will feel influence.
You're right now not in a very good position. You've allowed yourself to be in a very bad position, and he happens to be right about it.
From the very beginning of the war,
you're not in a good position. You don't have the cards right now. With us, you start having
cards.
Right now, you don't have your playing cards. You're playing cards. You're gambling with the lives of millions of people. You're gambling with World War III. You're gambling with World War III. And what you're doing is very disrespectful to the country, this country, that's backed you far more than a lot of people said they should have.
Have you said thank you once? This
a lot
entire
of
meeting?
Times.
No, in this
Even
entire
today.
Meeting, have you said thank
Even
you?
Today.
You went to Pennsylvania and campaigned for the opposition in October. Oh. Offer some words of appreciation for the United States of America and the president who's trying to save your country.
Please, you think that if you will speak very loudly about the war, you
He's
can
He's not speaking loudly. He's not speaking loudly. Your country is in big trouble.
Can I
Wait a minute. No, no.
Can
You've
I
done
answer?
A lot of talking. Your country is in big trouble.
I know.
You're not winning.
I know.
You're not winning this. You have a damn good chance of coming out okay because of us.
Mr. President, we are staying in our country, staying strong from the very beginning of the war. We've been alone, and we are thankful. I said thanks in this cabinet, and not only in this cabinet.
We gave you, through this stupid president, $350 billion.
You voted
We gave you military equipment, and
you
men are brave, but they had to use our military.
What am I asking?
If you didn't have our military equipment, if you didn't have our military equipment, this war would have been over in 2 weeks.
In three days, I heard it from Putin. In 3 days. This is something
Maybe
new.
Less.
In 2 weeks, of course, yes.
It's going to be a very hard thing to do business like this.
Again,
I tell you.
Just say thank you.
I
accept,
said a lot of times to American people.
Except that there are disagreements, and let's go litigate those disagreements rather than trying to fight it out in the American media when you're wrong. We know that you're wrong.
But you see, I think it's good for the American people to see what's going on.
I understand, sir.
I think it's very important. That's why I kept this going so long. You have to be thankful. You don't have the cards.
I'm thankful.
You're buried there. Your people are dying.
I can tell you,
you're running low on soldiers.
Don't, please.
You're running low on soldiers. It would be a damn good thing.
And
then you tell us, I don't want a ceasefire. I don't want a ceasefire. I want to go, and I want this. Look, if you could get a ceasefire right now, I tell you, you'd take it so the bullets stop flying and your men stop getting killed.
Of course, we want to stop the war.
But you're saying you don't want a ceasefire.
But I said to you,
I want a ceasefire.
With guarantees.
Because you'll get a ceasefire faster than an agreement.
Ask our people about ceasefire, what they think.
That wasn't with me. That wasn't with me.
It
that was with a guy named Biden, who was not a smart person.
That was with Obama. It was your president.
Excuse me. That was with Obama, who gave you sheets, and I gave you javelins.
Yes.
I gave you the javelins to take out all those tanks. Obama gave you sheets. In fact, the statement is, Obama gave sheets and Trump gave javelins. You got to be more thankful, because let me tell you, you don't have the cards. With us, you have the cards. But without us, you don't have any cards.
And there are four of the most devastating, embarrassing, and awkward minutes in White House history, with Zelensky being kicked out just moments later. And they make Micheál Martin's job much harder. In government buildings, they had planned to invite Trump to Ireland, perhaps for the Ryder Cup in 2027, and largely follow the Starmer and Macron playbook, be the friendly neighbourhood Irishman. Since then, Trump has pulled his funding from Ukraine. He's pulled intelligence gathering for Ukraine. And there may or may not be a minerals deal signed by the time that you are listening to this. But Europe has accepted, even if they won't say it publicly, that the US cannot be treated like a rational ally anymore. Defence spending is going to skyrocket across the bloc. And Zelensky has tried to come back to the table. And just to put this in context, when I say he made mistakes and made errors, people might be sort of surprised listening to that, because the narrative has been that Trump is the baddie in this, and Trump probably is the baddie in all of this. Morally, Zelensky may well have done the right thing. Politically, it was a disaster. And I'd actually love to see more leaders stand up to Trump, that the US is such a big beast that it makes that kind of diplomacy too dangerous. So if you're Micheál Martin and his team, you need to follow the Macron and Starmer approach. You say nice words at the start about Dún Beag and the US-Irish relationships. You praise Trump for trying to secure peace in Ukraine, but stress it has to have cast iron security guarantees. Say some positive things about Gaza without getting into the weeds about it too much. And when you're in that press conference, shut your mouth. Most of the questions will be for Trump anyway, and he loves it that way. The thing you need to prepare is a good answer for when the inevitable questions about the trade imbalance, particularly on pharma, come into play. And in fairness to the Taoiseach, there are a few Irish politicians that you'd have more confidence in to speak a lot but say a little in this particular scenario. The only place he seems to lose his cool is in the Dáil chamber. So if he can avoid doing that with the joint Irish and US media, then he'll be okay. But it will be a far cry from the diplomatic stand that many people want him to take. And it was interesting, I was speaking to a former government advisor who worked on Leo Varadkar's meetings with Donald Trump, and they said to me that with most leaders, most discussions, you go in with three or four points that you want to hit on, that you want to make and get done in the meeting. With Trump, you go in with the goal of getting out at your appointed time. In other words, it's complete and utter damage limitation. You're not going in there to actually advance anything. You are going in there to survive, to not have him take a turn against you, and to just get out of the room with your country and your dignity, hopefully, still intact. And that's the way I think this government will be thinking about it as well. Don't forget now to follow the podcast, follow Let Me Explain. I will be travelling to the US for that trip next week and bringing you all the latest here and across news talk on air and on our social media channels, from the Oval Office, from the Shamrock ceremony afterwards, from Capitol Hill, from everywhere else that the Taoiseach is going, including to Texas in the first couple of days. So listen out for all of that. On my Instagram, I'll be posting videos as I go, and we'll be on air on the Pat Kenny Show, on News Talk Breakfast, on The Hard Shoulder as well. And of course, on Let Me Explain, I will chat to you from the US next time.
Back pain and stiffness mean mornings rough.
Pain made it tough to sleep until I started Cosentyx.
Cosentyx secukinumab is the number one prescribed treatment for adults that targets IL-17A, a molecule that may play a role in inflammation that contributes to ankylosing spondyloarthritis or non-radiographic axial spondyloarthritis, two types of inflammatory arthritis of the spine. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
I got real relief with Cosentyx.